finnes en følelse som slår alt annet, å vite at jobben gjort skikkelig. Vi kunne kalt det VBF, verdens beste følelse. Men det holder med VB. For det sånn det å bruke VB-rørleggerne. Ting blir gjort skikkelig. Ja, du kan kanskje strekke deg til å si at VB-rørleggerne verdens beste rørleggere. Det gjør I hvert fall jeg, verdens beste radiostemme. Så når du trenger en rørlegger, kan du finne din verdens beste lokale VB-rørlegger på VB.no.
I fjor spilte Stratovarius I Oslo for første gang på 13 år. Har ikke vært for dem, hadde trolig ikke jernverket funkes. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, gammel Strato-fan og traff dem før konserten. Det har gått tregt I år, men jernverket veldig heldig, for Erling Malm har blitt fast postprodusent. Han ordner sånn at intervjuet gjort I all slags omgivelser lät mye bedre. Erling Malm spiller, synger og produserer I Endolith og Articulus, synger I Vicinity, har gjestet Triosphere og Veil of Secrets og miksa Confess. Ja, og så spilte vi sammen I Fuzzy Logic for snart 20 år siden da. Stor takk til Erling. Hør på og støtt alt det andre han gjør. Og har du lyst til å donere penger til jernverket, så kan du vipse på nummer 567438. I'm pressing the record button, so... Hi!
Hello!
I'm sitting here with Stratovarius in Oslo a few hours before your show. So how are you guys? How has the tour been going so far? This is your third date?
Yeah, so far it's been very good. Lots of people, especially in Umeå. And when was the last proper tour for us? So
2018 or 17.
Yeah, something like that. So
we were out with Tarja Turunen in Europe, like on a bus tour. But of course we've been doing so many summer festivals. I think it's easier to get... you know, profitability in a summer festival than in a bus tour somehow. And then, of course, the pandemic really put everything into chaos with bus tours. I mean, you see friends who are out and they go like, oh my God, like buses are so expensive now and everything is kind of chaos. But we decided to try now, see how it goes.
Yeah, okay, so there's a big difference on the bus touring now and before Corona?
It's the same, but the prices are...
The prices are like, let's say... An example that the bus used to cost like 1,500 euros a day. Now it can be 2,500 a day. So in 1 month tour, you make minus 30,000, you know, in the big budget. So a lot of bands, they just don't do any more tours because of that. So we don't know how this will end, but we wanted to give it a try because especially we have a new album out that came out a year ago. So we thought that, okay, we want to do this tour.
And so far, so good. I mean, Umeå, we had almost 2,000 people. I think some other gigs have been sold out already now. Like, we can't mention that one that was sold out. when will this be broadcast?
Yeah, today? No. This is a podcast, so I don't know when yet, but hopefully not that far away.
Okay.
But today's show in Norway, I think it's almost sold out.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's like, great. We have a good package, you know. Last time we toured with Sonata Arctica in the year 2000, and then there was Rhapsody as well playing with us.
So has it been so long?
Yeah. I think I called Tommy, was it first COVID summer? And we've been talking within the band that it would be nice to do this again, and then they had similar thoughts. So then we were like, let's put it together.
But we see Stratovarius' name everywhere because of the summer festivals. And that, how do you fly between those festivals or do you actually, yeah?
Well, not in Finland, but he flies to Finland.
Yeah, exactly.
So what about the album? We need to talk a little bit about that because it's been a year, but time flies and it really doesn't feel like a year because of all this Corona shit you were talking about. And everyone's been talking about the last 3 years. Can you tell me a bit about the process to the Survive album? I understood that you did this in a different way than you've done before.
Yes, we did. We did it like the old school way, that actually Jens, Matthias and me, we were in the same place, like in my studios in the middle of nothing. Because we used to compose like in the past that, you know, whoever composed the song, he sent the song like as an MP3 or whatever Dropbox link lately, and then we just rehearsed the song basically, and then somebody wrote the lyrics, and then we just recorded it. But this time, especially Jens and I, we wanted to change something. That let's change something and start with composing, and I think it was a very fruitful way for us, because I think there's much more energy, and on the album, and also all the especially melody lines, which are important to me, that they are well thought, and we were like starting from the scratch. You know, somebody had some idea, and then but nobody had like a full song, like in the past it was like already composed, but this time we were like, you know, giving out some options, and we were checking, and if 2 out of 3 guys were saying this is good, then it, we kept it. But yeah, then if everybody was like, I don't know, man, then we just rejected it. So that it was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like my view on it was always, you see a lot of bands doing this more and more, that they compose by Dropbox and by text message and stuff like that. Mm. So I think in a way they were doing this like pandemic kind of writing, because you saw when the pandemic came, you saw everybody's like, yeah, we wrote a song together over WhatsApp, you know, like, and we had kind of been doing that before the pandemic. Mm. So we switched to like pre-pandemic mode during the pandemic, and then but before the pandemic we did the pandemic style. But the thing is, of course, if you write a song by Dropbox, this threshold where you say something, it's much, much higher than if you're sitting in the same room. If somebody has like a complete song and you go like, well, perhaps we should have a different verse, it feels like a very, very big step to say that, just redo the whole song, because, you know, yeah, the verse. But if you're sitting in the same room, you can just say like, well, what the fuck do you have here? Like, do you have anything else? Like, yeah, you can say, this is garbage, it doesn't sound as bad as if you type somehow, this is, the verses are garbage, in the text message. Of course, the person reading it's like, what the fuck? I spent 18 hours on this song and I put it in Dropbox. So the threshold is much higher. So in a way, we did pre-pandemic writing for the pandemic, which what we had, I mean, much of the stuff had been written by the time the virus hit, actually. Like, it was just finishing it.
Yeah, and also, like, the feedback was immediate, because there was a person in the same room, like, where should we go now, you know, after verse, and then how about these chords, and then, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Instead of, like you said, you know, that the song is there and it's very difficult to touch it anymore.
Yeah.
Now it was like, okay, what should we do next?
Yeah. Mm. Of course, a Dropbox, the song in Dropbox is, of course, like a finished mix, and while you are working on the stuff, you have all the parts separated, so it's very easy to change something and move things around and discuss things. And the other thing, you know, somebody's facial expression, it can say more than like 10,000 things that you write. If someone's like, how about we do this? How about we sing? I'm sitting in my Mercedes with diarrhea, you know, like, what the, you know, like, you don't even have to say something. This is retarded. Don't, let's not go here whatsoever, but not in a serious way, because you just go like, you know, you make, of course, podcast, the face doesn't show, but you make a kind of like, what the fuck face? Like,
it makes a lot of sense when you say it that way, because we can't see your face on the podcast.
Exactly. Mm.
But does this mean that you could do the writing quicker as well? Like, make better songs in a shorter time
frame? Better songs.
Yeah.
That's the key. We spent a lot of time. I think you came to Finland 3 or 4 times, and you spent like a week or two.
Yeah.
And Matthias was probably at my place maybe more than 3 months altogether. So in a way, we spent a lot of time. Of course, if you compare that to individual, you know, time consuming when you're like composing your stuff, and then you put everything together, maybe less in that way. But it was super fast, the process. Basically, we started the morning, you know, with a cup of coffee, and then we asked around, somebody has some ideas, and then somebody suggested, well, I have this. And then basically in one day we had the song music-wise ready very often. But then, of course, we probably did 20 songs or more.
25 or
something. Yeah, something. And then we just dropped out the least interesting ideas, and then we, because in the end we were anyways running out of time, because label said that, okay, but the master has to be ready this and this time, but we never even told them when we are ready, so.
Yeah, I think that's part of the key thing, also not to make a promise, because that's something we've done in the past. We said, okay, we'll have the album ready by such and such date. Mm. And I think then you rush things. Mm-hmm. So I think this time, it was seven years between the previous full length album and this album. We just said, well, if we don't like the songs, we are not going to make an album. It's just like, maybe we never make one, but let's make the songs first, and then we promise. And of course, songs also includes like full development of what the melodies should be together with the singer. So he's tested them, and of course also lyrics, like what the song should be about and how much, you know, like, does it even make sense to do this song? In the past, I think it's been like, because nobody else in the band is a good singer. So if you write a song and you put like some melody on some instrument, like a keyboard or guitar or something like that, and no lyrics, and then, oh shit, we don't have any lyrics, let's write them in the last minute. Like, well, what do we have the song about? And of course, it becomes not as good as if you sit there and you argue about it. Like, so I think it became better.
Yeah. But why did you use so many years between the two last albums? Stratovarius has put out albums quite often, really, during the years, ever since 84, actually. So why this longer, I don't know if you can call it hiatus this time?
I blame Napster.
Oh, still.
But it's a very long story. Napster came out in 2000 or whenever it was. Like, of course, it changed the whole music industry. So now it actually is you lose money while you're making an album. So of course, for me, it was like, we shouldn't just get these advances from the record label to make albums unless we really, really like the songs, because we are losing money. I mean, we make money playing live, and you lose money recording music.
Wait a minute, I thought you said you lost money going live as well.
It might be this tour, let's see.
Yeah. And actually, no, you are guessing, but now it seems like some of the shows are being sold out. But it's a gamble. Like, but it's, at least it's a gamble where you can calculate that there will be some kind of profit. With the recorded music, it's definitely not a gamble. It's like you're losing money. It takes like, you recoup, you make the money back, but it takes like 20 years or 10 years at the moment. Like, unless you have a smash hit and it's like, you reach like Taylor Swift levels of plays, then of course you get money back, but it's like kind of unlikely.
Yeah, so you need another Black Diamond or Hunting High and Low.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, we are on board with that stuff. So it's like a little bit, you know, those have already been made. So it's like we have talked about that. Should we do this like power metal back to roots? And everybody's like, ugh. Especially Matthias is like,
yeah, I wanna do it. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, but I think you still have to have, you know, the center of gravity of the band has to be more. But we did like make one power metal song kind of on this album also. It was kind of complex, but still, you know.
Yeah, no. Also, you have to keep in mind that then. From 1997 lineup, there's only two guys, you know. When the people are changing in the band, of course, they bring their own character and their own way of composing.
Yeah.
So it would be stupid if we would try to imitate, like what happened 25 years ago.
Yeah, I don't mind, but it would be boring.
Boring.
Yeah.
I think on the new album, there's like reflections from the past, but it's a modern Stratovarius, so it's kind of a natural combination, I would say.
I think it's a brilliant strategy. I mean, when the old guys of the band quit, you bring younger guys in, and then the musical interest, like the center of gravity, shifts towards more modern music, and then by that time you attract more younger audience a bit. Also, like, we have like a hunky drummer who's sitting there with, you know, fucking worked out like biceps, like, and all the girls are like, oh my god.
As long as you are not becoming too modern with it, this chugga chugga metal, it's okay.
I mean, it's still, you immediately hear it's Stratovarius. We don't intentionally try to change the style, but it's a natural development in my opinion, the whole thing. So, but I'm very satisfied with the new album. And of course, it takes maybe a couple of years when people, then, especially when we play some of the songs live, like tonight. So then they start appreciating the sort of, I would call, new stuff after a few years. That's the way it happens, you know. So, but the reactions have been very good.
Yeah, I even heard you got the Finnish, is it Emma or Emmy? The best metal?
Nomination.
Nomination, okay.
Nomination, yeah. But Amorphis again won it.
You have Amorphis and we have Enslaved, the same bands that win every year.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's great. And did you get a number one this time, by the way? Yeah.
So much, yeah. That was nice surprise.
Finland is a very special country when it comes to metal.
Yeah, it is.
But we need to go a little bit back in time as well. We can't only talk about these days.
Yes, we can.
Of course we can. But do you remember the first time you guys heard Stratovarius before you became members?
I do. Probably you don't.
I remember also.
Can you tell me...
Next question.
Well, but what...
to me it was like this, that... when I was still, well, actually, I'm nowadays living in the same little commune, like little town. But my neighbor had bought Fright Night, the first album, and I still remember that. Oh, that's a cool looking cover. There's a snake and tombstone, and wow! And then he played it. And I said, I remember saying this, even though now it sounds stupid, but I said it. Said it that, yeah, the music sounds good, but the singer should be changed. And that was like 5 years. Before I joined the band, I didn't have any idea that I would be singing in this band, but that was my first reaction.
Yeah. And then it became better when you came
in?
Well,
I hope so, but I'm not the one to judge it.
I think...
What about you? You said you remember that.
I was living in New York at the time, and I was sitting, funnily enough, Dream Theater's manager's office, just drinking coffee, I don't know, the social call, you know, kind of. And he had gotten this thing in the mail, a CD... Like, I got this, you know, Sweden is close to Finland, right? It's like somehow European band, you know, like Stratovarius. And he put the CD on and I was like, this is kind of interesting. It's kind of good. Like, but he didn't really know what to do with it still. It was like, it's kind of like too much metal, you know, they did like prog and some other kind of styles of music with that management company. But he was also like, it's kind of good, you know, like, and I think it was Fourth Dimension album.
Oh, okay.
Tolki had sent it to Dream Theater's management. Okay. And that's the first time I heard. And then, of course, a few months later, I got this fax from Tolki, like, would you like to join my band? Like, I have this.
By coincidence? Like,
it's a complete coincidence, yeah. I think he was, like, on a roll. I mean, he was very active, I guess. Like, and I got the fax, and, you know, it's like, well, you have, like, what's the new album going to sound like? So he sent some demos, and it's like, well, maybe it's interesting. Like,
so Episode became your first album.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And your first was the Fourth Dimension.
Mm. Yeah.
That's quite insane, actually, that both of you guys are still here after all those years, because there's been some changes in Stratovarius.
Yeah, like in most of the bands.
Of course.
Especially in ours.
Yeah, it's not so insane. What's insane is that the band is still here.
Exactly.
It's been very close to like crashing and burning so many times.
I read some that you once said that Polaris was the album that saved the band, Timo. Why is this?
Well, it's because, first of all, we had a new guitar player, and then when we basically got the rights from Tolki to use the name, we were not sure if we were going to use that name, because first we decided that let's compose the stuff and then think, because we were thinking we could change the name totally. But when we heard the demos, we were like, oh, fuck, it sounds like Stratovarius, and then without making an album... Of course, there wouldn't be any more Stratovarius, so it would be like us playing cover songs from Stratovarius without creating anything new. So,
So that actually saved both the name and the band.
Yeah.
I think if we would have had a different name, it would have been a different band in a way. Like, I think that's like different project, kind of like.
But do you think that you guys would have continued playing together if the name didn't?
I think that was the plan. We'd do something. I mean, we didn't really know what to do. Jörg thought at the time that we should not have Stratovarius because it's from the past. It's like so many bad vibes associated with it. He wanted the band to be called Killing an Arab. So I have to say, it's a good thing that we... it's like some song by some other band, which band, I don't remember who...
Yeah, maybe it would be good for some punk band or hardcore or something. But
what band is it? Like Morrissey or something like this? I forget. It's like some song by some other band.
I don't know. Somebody that listens will know.
Yeah, I mean, he's into that kind of weird stuff. we tossed around a bunch of other names and stuff like that. And let's see what the material sounds like.
Mm.
And I think... what you take with you in a way is that if you keep the same singer, it sounds like the same band. That's like that's the important part. We have had the same singer for very, very long time. That's kind of like somehow the secret also. Like many other bands, they change the singers, like you change underwear. Like Yngwie Malmsteen.
Who you also played with.
Yeah, he doesn't change his underwear so often. So that's the thing.
That's the reason.
Yeah, that's the reason. Sometimes there will be like one guy on the album singing, and then on the tour there will be a different guy. And then that guy would sing on the next album. And then on the next tour, the first guy would be on the tour. And then, you know, they would swap around and then there would be a third guy. And so.
But I think now he doesn't want to change the singer.
Yeah, now he has the same singer always because he's singing himself.
The best singer.
Yeah.
Do it yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there has been some rumors that Tolki would have wanted to play with you guys again. Is that like I saw somewhere somebody comparing it or dreaming about Stratovarius being another Halloween, like going with three vocalists on tour? That was quite insane.
And who's the third one then?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But at least.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Halloween has the
three guitar players then.
Yeah, they,
or four.
They have, but for us, you know, like. Yeah. That would be basically me singing.
Exactly. Of course, they take turns, so it's easy for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you only have to sing, like, they play like 2 hours, and then each singer has to cover it as a part with, like.
You could have added the guitar players, though. You had, like, 3 or 4 of those. Like,
he likes the idea of being in Sotheby's. Words. I don't think he actually wants to play with us, because I think it's a lot of. I text with him sometimes, and I texted him like I'm wondering if I'm too old to do this like 1 month in the bus, and he replied that I'm definitely too old. And of course, you say something like that, and you still say that you want to do this reunion. It doesn't. I think you said, was it today that he had planned that by 50 he would not do this?
Yeah, he said it like 20 years ago.
Yeah. But I think then you change your mind, like, well, maybe I should go back in there. Like, yeah, they keep pulling me back in. But I think he would not last. I think he would not like to be on the road like this, and I think he wouldn't last. And I think it's better for everybody, including him, if he's at home with his tea, cup of tea, hopefully getting some royalties, you know, because, of course, I mean, he still gets royalties from the Spotify and stuff, even after Napster. So I hope he's home and he's safe. I don't want him out here.
We have to see then after this tour if you guys still will be sane and have your health.
We can handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah.
No, as long as the bus doesn't break down and stuff like that. Was this summer when
flights got cancelled?
Yeah, and then there was some car breakdown.
Yeah, then it broke in the fucking tunnel.
Yeah.
You need to tell me some. That's a question I always ask the bands if they have a good Spinal Tap story or tour story and you must have, because you've been touring and playing so much around the world that there has to be some situation that makes you guys laugh or just hit your forehead.
There are so many. I mean, it's
especially you from England times.
Yeah, that's true. But it's more a question of which one you would pick out. And obviously, if people ask that, you might tend to pick out the worst one. Is it funnier one, or is it disaster one, or is it like, you know, accidents where people hurt themselves, or is it more like mishaps?
Maybe
or some other things.
Maybe mostly something funny or extreme. I still remember that DVD. I don't remember which DVD, but where you smashed a toilet.
Oh yeah, well that's like kind of like. People talk a lot about that because it was in the DVD.
Yeah, of course. But I don't know, something like that. Along those lines.
The Yngwie airplane incident that became like global news, and then this like unleashing the fury became like a meme. You see people in their 20s typing like, I'm unleashing the fury. And you go like, oh, fuck, I was there. Like, somebody in Korea using this as a meme now. And you go like, oh, fuck. I was on the plane. I took my clothes off on the plane. And oh, my God, like. But all these things have been talked about a lot, so I mean, maybe it's boring. I don't know. The toilet was just like a little accident.
So then you need to find something else then.
Yeah, maybe. But that was fun. Of course, I okayed it being in the video, not thinking about it, but it's like, no, people cannot remember it.
Yeah, I know that was just an example to make you think about something that has happened on tour, apparently know about this one already.
Yeah.
Maybe you got something, Timo.
Well, the funny things are very often related to this mister over here. The ones that I remember. sometimes there's been like what festival was it? Was it in Madrid or somewhere that we played? And was it Hammerfall or was it some Italian band? But I remember when they came from the stage and they were sitting in the locker room or whatever, it was some open air stuff. They were all sitting like, you know, like leaning. Then I was like, what the fuck's been going on? So he's been sewing. They were like this plastic garden chairs, these normal white ones. So I don't know why he has a saw on him. So he sawed a piece of leg on every chair. Italian guys were sitting, I don't remember which band. They were sitting like leaning. But I think they didn't even realize it. Yeah. They were just, you know, trying to talk. Like, yeah, exactly. You know, it's like a fanculo and a stronzo, and, you know.
That was like a common gag at that time.
I used to
bring this saw, like a firewood saw.
So just in case you could saw something off?
Yeah, like chair legs. Like it's funny when you, if there's like a whole room and you take on every chair, it's like becomes a bit comical because like, well, if one chair, you kind of go like, okay, one chair is fucked up. But if there's like 10 of them and you collect all these stumps, you know, in your little bag. Like, I found this in my garage. I found this box of stumps. It was like, you know, I did these corners of tables and doors.
Doors. Somewhere, like a door. Somewhere in Brazil, there was a long hallway and all the doors were missing.
Once in Brazil, I took a couch. Do you remember this? Like, it was like this big like couch with cloth.
Did you do that? Fuck.
It was like this. But I don't have a saw with me anymore.
So maybe we'll wait with publishing this interview until after the tour in case you get some ideas.
It's like I'm fond of saying, once you have done something 100 times, it's not as exciting anymore. I mean, when you have done it.
You need to find something else.
Yeah.
But this interview...
I wonder what it would be. Like, maybe we think of something.
Maybe after this interview.
Velkommen til auksjon her I Blåbærstien 6. De sover I antasje, så vi må være litt stille I dag. Vi begynner med denne nydelige 65-tommeren. Budet starter på 3000. Neste ut Mac'en til tenåringen I huset. Vi starter på 2 lakk.
Ja, vi har den.
Grattis. Til slutt, dette flotte smykket, sannsynligvis arvegods.
Ikke la innbrudstyver auksjonere bort tingene dine mens du sover. Skaff deg heller boligalarm fra Sektor Alarm.
But this interview is very special for me as well, because I've done hundreds of interviews, but Stratovarius was one of the first band that I was really a big fan of, like a teenage fan.
Okay.
And you probably don't remember this because you've met hundreds and thousands of fans, but in the early 2000s, Timo, actually, he answered emails from fans, and one of those fans was me.
Okay.
And I was also one of those waiting after the shows, trying to get hold of the band and nice. Say hi and photos. And I met you, I think twice actually, but the time outside Pakkahuone is the one I remember the most because because I was standing there and I had to go to the bathroom, but there was nowhere to go. And then finally you came and you were actually very nice because you talked to the fans. You took your time and you were blah, blah, blah. And you remembered the emails. And so I was very happy after that day. And the long story short, I didn't make it to the toilet. Mm. But I was 17 or 18, something along those
nice.
Lines.
Cool.
And so Stratovarius is actually one of the reasons that I'm sitting here today and doing all these interviews.
Okay. Excellent, nice.
So I thought about this before this, that will I be able to ask any questions at all? Because this is this is kind of like the circle is...
Full,
yeah.
You've gone full circle.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
So then, yeah, I just wanted you guys to to know and to share something embarrassing from
that's
my
kind of like a wholesome story, though. Like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
That's great.
But when we go back and look at your albums, there's been 16 of them now, and isn't it 16 full lengths?
We lost
and then,
count.
Yeah. And then there's EPs and compilations and all that kind. But what album is the one you're least, which one is your least favorite, or the one that stands like, oh, oh, this one we should have done something else, we should have thrown those songs away, or which one is like the in your career?
Well, to me it's clear, it's this 2005 Sorrow or just this Black Album, whatever you call it.
Hmm.
Times were so bad.
Self-titled.
Yeah.
I think between that one maybe and this Elements 2 was also a bit of an albatross.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
even though both albums I like the songs, but it was just like more business wise maybe it was like kind of stupid to do it the way we did, especially this self-titled.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of stupidity involved, but I don't know. I mean, I think the songs have all been quite okay, like. And other than that, I think I wish we would have thought about this earlier to focus more on writing and not only with this last album. I think I think we could have made all this like post 2008 albums, we could have made, you know, fewer of them and maybe better songs, like. But you know, they were made for the reason also that we were touring. It was made in conjunction with tours and stuff, and it somehow fit together anyway. Like, so.
Yeah. So was there like the pressure from record companies as well to do them more often at that time?
I would say yes. I think the reasoning back then, and I think still some people think this way, is that if you want to make a tour, you should have an album.
Mm.
And I think for me, it's been many years. Like, why? I mean, why do you? And then we didn't make an album now for 7 years, and I was like watching the business we did on the road, and it seemed to be not affected by not having made an album. It seemed to be business as usual or better and better every year without a new album.
Yeah.
So for me, clearly, you know, this spell has been broken. You don't have to make a new album. I think next album, if we make one, we do the same thing. We focus like fuck on the songs, you know, just like really, really drill down that layer.
Yeah.
And then if everybody likes the songs, then we start recording them. Like,
But are you writing together now or just on a...
Not now, because we've been busy touring and Matias has been quite a lot in Brazil. So we were thinking about it, at least Matias and I, we were talking quickly that when we have these gigs in Finland, that then between the shoulders, let's see if he comes down or not. Then you are welcome as well.
Okay.
So let's see.
So is it true that you moved to Kesämökki, like your
summer cottage? Yeah, right now I live in the middle of nothing.
Huh. So do you have a studio and facilities there so you can actually rehearse?
It's like the next building is like a studio building. So
you could actually make a whole Stratovarius album do everything, like the mixing and all there?
No, actually, no. We recorded all the vocals and almost all the guitars, but then drums were recorded. Was it in
Finvox? But I think we could have done it.
Like, basically, we could. But then Matias was mixing in his studio and some in Brazil. So it was also... Because of COVID, one of the guys who was working for the album, he got COVID like just in the last moments, and he was out of the business for 3 weeks. And then the first deadline, we crossed that line.
Yeah.
And then the label gave another deadline, which we managed to hold. And, you know, but that was... COVID times.
So.
Mm-hmm. But how do you manage with all the other stuff you're doing, especially you? You have like thousands of projects, it seems.
It's not really 1,000, but it's a few.
990.
Yeah, not even that anymore. But, you know, you just look at the calendar and you try to fit. It's, of course, this thing that we should have blocks. You kind of have to negotiate with everybody in Stratovarius because that's like the priority. But if you then have a month open... I think you did some acoustic things also in October. So you kind of like try to think of blocks where you could tell somebody else to book something. But now this, I was playing with this band called Rainbow, but that seems to be kind of in the back burner right now for Richie. I think he's focusing on Blackmore's Night.
Mm.
So there's no talk of any Rainbow gigs. And of course, then the summer's become much easier.
Yeah, when you take away all the touring, you can just do that.
I could just do Stradivarius in the summers, like, because when there was Rainbow also, it was kind of complicated because there was not so many festivals maybe, but there was like arena gigs, and of course the arena is only available on the Saturday, you know, and then there was a Stradivarius gig also on the Saturday, and can you move it if it's a festival and all this. But it was possible to make it 2019 was like super busy.
Hmm. But even you, Timo, have loaned your voice to other projects, like everything from Arion to Heavisaurus.
Yeah, but not. I haven't sung in Heavisaurus.
Didn't you? I saw that you were credited.
Oh yeah, well it was just this one line.
Yes, just a line.
Just one line where there was a lot of singers. So
yeah,
I did compose some of the songs, but that's just a couple. But anyways, I haven't been doing so many projects. Arion was like, when was it? 15 years ago? 20 years ago?
It must be.
And then what else? No, I was asked to do some projects like just like last night as well, but I haven't been so much into them. You know, it's always, voice is so recognizable, and if I have this philosophy that if I can't bring anything new to the song, why should I do it?
Mm.
If there's like somebody who's singing it okay, then why should I do it? I mean, I don't get it. So just, I don't want to have money just that somebody then puts a sticker there that I'm singing. If it doesn't bring anything to the song or anything to me, so then I haven't been doing so many. I did sing some couple of songs on Disney movie in Finnish version. That was already like 15 years ago.
Wow, yeah.
But
so you haven't done any more TV after Kuorosota? That's the Finnish version of the Sture Kurslange.
Yeah, I was like a coach on one TV thing, but I think that was probably 10 years ago. Oh, 8 years ago. I've been asked to do some, but
I was not this masked singer.
I was asked to do it, but I refused.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we know that Europe will not be in the next edition, or?
Sorry?
So then we know that you will not be in the next edition of The Masked Singer.
No, I'm not. No.
Well, maybe he's just telling that to us and he's in it.
Exactly.
Well, is that a good program?
Exactly.
Where can I apply?
Can I be in your program?
No.
But I think this studio stuff is more like office work. I mean, you can do it while you're at home, kind of, like nowadays. But of course, what eats your time is when you do gigs. And of course, that's also where the money is. But I think you do a bunch of stuff in Finland. You did some things with this army band now.
When was it? 2 years ago.
But what's the thing you did now in October?
Yeah, now I had this kind of acoustic band. We did 9 shows in Finland. And that was like actually lots of fun. The guys played like violin, mandolin, guitar and all the percussions. And that was actually, that we might continue at one point, but only when Stradivarius doesn't have anything. So
what was that called?
It was called Robustik.
Ooh.
My name and then Robustik.
Hmm.
You do duo gigs sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. I think I don't have any this year since we are busy with...
Yeah. But that's like, you kind of have to plan that stuff around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So is Swedish TV as interested in you as Finnish TV is in Timo?
No, not at all. I mean, of course, singers are kind of higher on the ranking. Like, it's how it is.
So what did you choose to play the keyboards?
I don't know. When I was like 12 or something like that, we had like this basement band and, you know, we were just like fucking around with stuff. I don't know. It wasn't really a good conscious choice. Like, oh, this is what I want to do. I never expected to do this for a living at all.
Same here.
Complete hobby.
And that's the thing about singing as well, because especially nowadays, I have this impression that singing is just something you do on the side. Then you play an instrument and then, whoa, I became the singer and I didn't realize, but you've been a singer all the time.
I started as a drummer.
You did?
Yeah, I played with my local band. And
what was the name of it?
That was before that.
Okay, right? Okay.
Then I started as a drummer. I had a drum kit. And then guitar player and bass player said that, hey, why don't you try to sing at the same time? Because they were thinking that I can sing. And then I was like, okay, I can try. And then we were playing whatever songs. And it was kind of a difficult. Even drumming was too difficult for me. And then they said, we'll find another drummer. Then suddenly I was standing behind the microphone. So it was not my choice. I was semi-forced to do it. But thank you, guys. We're still friends.
Yeah.
And here you are. Well, yeah, I guess that it's 37 minutes now and you had 45. So we probably should start.
It's not mega strict, but, you know, it's like...
Yeah, I don't know. What's your schedule today?
Well, we got to eat and we got to do this and we got to do
another interview.
Yeah, that's like at 6, I think.
And warming up.
Yeah. Mm. What time was show time, do you remember?
Is it 10?
Oh, okay.
Do you know when you were playing? I don't know if I want to see induction, but I'm definitely seeing you in Sonata. Yeah.
We will play.
We have a few other things to fit.
Sonata starts 8:25 and we start 10:05.
Hmm. No, thanks. That's good to know. Then we could sit and have another beer at the neighbor pub.
Yeah.
Before we go. But last but not least, it would be cool if we had a small playlist. Since I was doing radio before, we used to have songs in between, but I don't do that anymore. So, do you have some favorite songs we could add just to a playlist to the podcast?
From us?
Yeah, then one Stratovarius song each, and then maybe two other favorites each. Is that possible?
Yeah. I guess so.
Hmm?
So, of course, I would pick something from the last album. I would pick then this.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe I pick Broken. That's it. So, because it's kind of progressive.
Then I pick Frozen in Time.
Yeah, there you go. Good selection. And then other bands, I don't even know what should I pick.
I can start.
Yeah.
I used to listen to this music called Rockabilly. It was very popular at the time in Finland. And I was recording for a cassette. I put this, there was one rock show in the biggest radio in Finland, and I put it recording because my mom called me to eat some lunch, whatever. And then I came back after eating and I started to listen to this cool rockabilly music. And there was one song that sticked out, and I was like, what is this song? And I forwarded it always like, and then I got lazy and I listened to all of the tape. And then I suddenly realized that I was listening to this one song that I didn't want to listen to at all. And it was AC/DC's Hell Spells. So that's how my metal started. So.
Okay.
And then rockabilly went away.
Okay.
Okay. Any ideas from this?
Well, maybe you take some, let's say, some Deep Purple song. Let's say you take... How long could it be? I guess it's unlimited.
Yeah, they're unlimited, and I wouldn't care if it wasn't radio either.
Totally.
Exactly.
We need longer songs on
radio.
Yeah,
if you want to have something I used to listen to when I was growing up, this Deep Purple Made in Japan album, and one of the most funny songs there, it's this bass trucking from this Made in Japan album, which I kind of freaked out with all this Gustav Holst shit in the middle, and like God knows what. But I guess they were just having fun. I don't know, like jet lagged out of their brains somewhere in Japan, So I love that album, and I think almost everybody who I ever played with has listened at least something to this album, like Made in Japan. So.
It's a great album. Live
Space Trucking from Made in Japan.
Yeah. So would you like to add any more songs, or should we call it quits with four songs?
Oh, no, then you could add Lazy from Made in Japan. And then...
Or Heaven and Hell by Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm picking all the slow songs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if I don't pick something from Made in Japan, what should I pick? For instance, like Rainbow, Kill the King, that's always a good one. Like, from the live album is on stage. That's also Richie then, of course.
Didn't Stratovarius cover that song, Kill the King? Or no?
But Tolki was singing it because I refused to sing any Dio stuff on the album
the
time. Because that was my biggest idol.
Yeah, of course. And you had that thing with if somebody could do it just as well or better.
Well, not in this case, because I knew that I'm not going to get even close. So he's still the best heavy metal singer.
But you did sing Priest, though.
Priest, yeah. That I did.
Hmm.
Well, Halford is good, but he's not Dio. So it's just when you have somebody, you know. Like,
so why do you hate Halford?
No, I don't hate I like him a lot, but you know.
Headline, Timo Kosipelto hates Halford.
No, he's still good. Same as I wouldn't probably sing anything on the album done by Bruce Dickinson, because he's top-notch, so it's like...
Okay, so this is one of the main questions, actually. Iron Maiden or Judas Priest?
Judas Priest, of course.
Well, that's a tough question. I would need to pick Maiden because that was the
they are like
second band after well, it was basically AC/DC and then Iron Maiden, and thanks to my neighbor and the album covers. He also the same guy. Hello, Marco, if you listen to this. He also made the trick that he recorded, I think it was Peace of Mind album, or the other one, that he recorded two times B-side for my cassette, and I was so pissed off because I turned the cassette and same songs like, what the fuck?
The good old times.
Yeah. Well, I think Priest, of course, I mean, Iron Maiden is like so pretentious, and but it's Judas Priest. I mean, fuck you, Iron Maiden. I mean, this is terrible. Nice headline.
This makes me so happy.
Judas Priest, they have like a sense of humor. I like, you know, that, you know, that's one of my favorite things about Judas Priest is like all of these homophobic metal people were idolizing them for years before they knew that he's gay, you know, like, fuck these gay people, I like Judas Priest, you know, and then he comes out and people are like, oh no, and they go, does that make me gay now too, like, oh no, like, that angle is fantastic, but mostly they have a sense of humor, you know, like, it's like this British, the best of British humor, kind of, like, self-deprecating kind of, like, not so serious image, but still very good music. I mean,
So now I got my headlines.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. You hate Halford, and I say fuck
no,
you.
No, I don't hate him.
And I said fuck you.
I also love Priest, but if I had to choose,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, at least this one each. All right, so that's 44 minutes, okay. And then we need to take some pictures, but we can do that outside where there's better lighting, okay. I guess.
Yeah.
Du har hørt et intervju med Stratovarius innspilt i oktober 2023. Likte du det, kan du for eksempel høre intervjuene med Sonata Arctica, Scorpions og Judas Priest. Neste episode kommer forhåpentligvis snart. Jeg traff Sovereign etter platesleppet i vinter.
Vi var egentlig litt sånn der sulke og endte opp med å kjøre den der Au Noir Black Thrash greia til å begynne med, ja. Men så fant vi det egentlig ut at det var ikke helt det vi hadde lyst til å gjøre.
Det lønner seg å fortsette å følge Jernverket på jernverket.com, Instagram og Facebook, så får du med deg når det skjer noe. Og gjør du det allerede, abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Vil du bidra med noen kroner til fortsettelse, kan du gi støtte via Vips. Info legg I episodebeskrivelser. Helle Stenkløv, det meg. Jeg håper vi høres igjen.